Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low, couldn't get it. Sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene. Put his ear to the wall. Then, like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Tuesday morning. Got a lot to talk about today. A lot of fingers to point at people. A lot of blame to go around, certainly. Well, listen. It is what it is. What are you going to do? Good morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Morning to you, Paulie.
Having fun?
Having so much fun. I'm actually all right. I'll be okay. We'll all be okay. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
Still friendly?
Are you friendly?
I don't know.
Are you unfriendly?
I'm not.
You're not friendly.
I don't think any of us are in the best of moods today as Padres
fans. I'm actually okay.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm much better this year than I was last year. I figured out how to do this. I take my Ambien very early. That is the key to my success. I took my Ambien very early last night. Now, I end up fighting myself. When they started adding on in the ninth inning, I was like, you bastards, just let me sleep. You're not going to win this game. We know that. Come on. What are you doing?
I wonder how many people actually know the Padres brought the tying run to the plate.
I know. For real.
In the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yeah, they really did.
I'm just going to say it. I was personally offended by them bringing the tying run to the
plate. It was offensive. Last night was massively offensive in so many ways.
I was sitting there like, even when Crony hit the double, I was like, you know how much better it is to say, we only got one effing hit?
Yeah, one hit.
One hit?
Yep. I know, dude. I know. It was, I felt the same way, but that's how I've been. Cause usually what I would do last year is I would watch the game in its entirety and then the game would end and I would take my Ambien then, and then it's 11 and I'm lying there like, God, I'm pissed at this team, man. I'm so mad at this team. These guys suck, blah, blah, blah. And then it's, you know, 11:30, and I got to be up at, my wife's going to get me up at 1:30. It was terrible.
Aren't you risking, though, at some point there's going to be a game that goes extra innings,
yeah,
and it's the 10th, and you're all of a sudden, you can't stay awake for it?
Well, it's the fight is the fun part. The fight against it, is the fight against the effects, is actually pretty fun. It's really fun. So I took it at like 7:30. I mean, it was like the 4th, and I was like, I'm not doing this all night. Took it, laid down, got the kids down, laid in bed. Hannah was dead asleep. And then I just started, about 8:30, I was like, I'm getting a little tired now. Had to get up, move around, got back in bed, watched the rest of the game. It was terrible, man. These guys stink. They stink. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, listen, It's a bad baseball team right now. Five straight games. And
hopefully right now being the key phrase and not forever and ever and the rest of the season.
Or the rest of time, just until we die. You know, that also is a possibility. I mean, the doomers are out. I'm in my foot. I got a foot in the doomer camp. I got a foot in the... I would never say I'm apathetic about this team or baseball, so I don't have a foot in the apathy camp. But I've got a foot in the doomer camp.
There's only two camps. There's doom, and there's 130 games still to play.
Right.
And we've barely scratched the surface of the season.
But those are the two camps that I'm in.
That's about it right
both,
now.
I have both feet in the doomer camp right now. That's where my feet rest. And by doomer, I don't mean just this season. I mean, hey, this is what it's going to be like in perpetuity, right, for this team. So, yeah, man, there's a lot to talk about in last night's game. You know, again, one of the most boring games you'll ever watch unless you're a Reds fan. You're pretty excited about the performance of Nick Lodolo, who had come into the game 2-0 and had a nice start to a season. But, again, it's Nick Lodolo. And now you've lost five straight games, and you're in the torture chamber. And all your fans are in the torture chamber, and all your fans are turning on you. I think my main takeaway from all of this, man, is you've got, and this is what kept running through my head last night. You have a city in San Diego that is begging to love you. They are begging to love you. They're begging to support you. They're doing everything they can. And you go out last night, you throw up one hit. The first batter, by the way.
Yeah.
You throw up one hit until the ninth inning? That's embarrassing. You should be embarrassed. This team stinks. There's no other way to put it. They stink. They're not good. You know, and everybody's pointing fingers at a bunch of different people. And there's plenty of blame to go around, you know. But I'll tell you again, once again, it's not the fans' fault, because the fans are showing up on a Monday night against the Cincinnati Reds. Monday night, Cincinnati Reds. And listen, I know that the beanies are cool. You can get a beanie anywhere. Look where we live. There's beanies. You ever been to Encinitas? Just grab one from some guy off the street. I promise you he's got another one in his back pocket.
It's not even that cold here.
You can walk up to a guy in Encinitas, steal his beanie, and he'll go, ah, son of a bitch, lost another one. Pull one out of his back pocket, put another one on. There's beanies everywhere in this town. That's not why people go to the game. That's not why. They go because they want to support a winner. They're begging to support a winner. That's it. Did you see Petco Park when they were in the playoff run? Holy smokes. Most electric atmosphere in baseball. Ask Cincinnati if they ever have that many people on a Monday night. The answer is no. Ask Tampa if they ever have that many people. Ask Detroit. Ask Kansas City. Ask anybody else of these small market teams if they ever have that many people on a Monday night. I bet you one of my children, they don't.
Even the ones that are playing well.
100%.
They don't have anywhere near what the Padres have in their attendance.
39,158.
That is on a Monday night.
Yeah.
That is staggering. Staggering. And you go out and you drop that after just getting swept at home. I mean, holy smokes. 1-10 now in night games. And the one that you won... was the 8-0 comeback? Without that comeback, you're 0-11 at home at night? What are we doing here, guys? Have a little bit of pride. I said it so many times in the offseason. Everybody expects this team to win about 82 games, okay? That's not a huge expectation. It's not. I'm sorry. With the payroll that we have, and I know it's limited now, 82 wins is not a huge expectation. Could they still get there? Sure. Are they making it harder on themselves every day? Yes. 82 wins was really what's expected of you. And
I'm still not going to be happy with 82
wins. No, I'm not either.
That's a disappointing season.
No question. But that's what everyone was kind of prognosticating. And you looked at the roster and you went, all right, yeah, I mean, things could go five games one way or the other, right? Your ceiling was about 87. But, man, you look at it now and go, holy cow, like – I would be surprised with the way that they're playing right now. So it's a bummer, man. This town is begging to love you. They're begging to love you. And you just constantly let them down, and especially at their house. There's zero home field advantage here. Zero. The batter's eye was too weird last year. Well, we took that out. What is it now? You know, it's just a bummer, man. It's a bummer to watch every single night and you know, watch guys go up there with listless, lifeless at bats, hacking at the first pitch, feeble, feeble ABs, feeble ground outs, swinging at pitches in the dirt. I mean, it was terrible. It's a terrible game. And I'll say it right now. Lay off Matt Waldron. Matt Waldron's fine. Guy makes zero money. Gave you six innings. Gave up four runs. He's a fifth starter. Like, Matt Waldron's not the problem.
He did throw, I think, maybe the worst pitch of the season, though. 0-2 to Ellie De La Cruz. You have to bury that one.
Gotta
inside,
bury
under his hands. The target was up and in, and he threw it as center cut as you can possibly throw it on an 0-2 pitch to one of the hottest players in baseball. It really was one of the worst misses and worst pitches for a professional pitcher.
Fair enough.
To throw that at 0-2.
That's fair.
After that,
that's
I
not
thought
why
he was
lost.
Fine. Gave up a couple of line drive doubles in the corner. Got out of some jams. Ended up pitching okay. You know, more than good enough for your number five starter. If you want to win those games with your number five starter, you got to win 6-4, 7-5. Any team has to score some runs for their fifth starter to win those games with any kind of regularity. Padres are scoring almost nothing, except for his last start in Colorado when they scored a few and he won. They're scoring nothing for Matt Waldron. You're never going to win when you don't score for your fifth starter. You can't expect your fifth starter to go out and throw zeros every time. You know why? Because then he wouldn't be your first starter.
That's exactly right.
You can't expect Matt Waldron to be Nick Lodolo.
Right, exactly. He's got 31 innings and six starts, okay? Just over five innings a start. The one time he did not reach the fifth inning was on April 1st in his season debut. I mean, holy cow. He's only given up four home runs, which is like eight fewer than Michael King and six fewer than Joe Musgrove. That's pretty good. And he makes a fraction of what anybody else makes. He's a rookie. I'm not going to ride Matt Waldron in here today. Matt Waldron did, you know, his job. He gave you six innings. He gave up four runs. Threw a couple of good pitches that were hit. This isn't anybody turd polishing Matt Waldron. This is baseball. Your fifth starter goes out and gives you that last night. You got to find a way to win that game. I'm sorry. So Matt Waldron's not the problem. There are a lot of problems on this team, certainly. I hate doing foreplay right into this, but how could you not, man? The taste is like it's like aspirin in your mouth. Like you just chewed up a Bayer. You know, you ever chew aspirin? The guys in the movies do it, and I don't buy it. I don't think people actually do it. I see they take some aspirin. Like Bruce Willis in Die Hard is like, Die Hard 2. He's so hungover, he just... And chews aspirin.
Candy,
I'm
right?
Like, God dang, dude. I can't even do that with regular M&Ms. Like, I got to take my time. He's taking aspirin. That's what it tastes like in your mouth when you wake up after a loss like that. Bitter.
It's a bitter pill to swallow.
Bitter, acrid taste in our mouths this morning. So, yeah, we're fussy, certainly. But I think you have every right to be. It's pathetic, man. Pathetic. There's just no other way to put it. 39,000 people on a Monday night to go see the Reds. Have you watched other baseball games, Benny? You flip around. I flip around. I watch a lot of baseball. 39,000 people on a Monday night. And again, it's
how
not like...
How many teams in baseball would kill for that?
Dude, it's not like the Dodgers were here, the Yankees were here, and the place was filled with, you know, the other team's colors. That's 39,000. I'd go ahead and I'd feel safe saying 37,000 Padres fans were there last night. They're begging to love you. They're begging for a winner. They deserve a winner. At least give it a fight, man. At least put up a fight.
I do see the fans who say, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't show up to the games until they start winning more. And that's the part that worries me the most, because the one thing the Padres have going for them is the fan base. You take that away, and all of a sudden now you're just getting 14,000 on a Monday night. That's when things really could get ugly. And I hope the Padres fans continue to try to support the team, because I don't think it's going to get better if you just stop coming to the game.
How could it get worse?
I don't think it's going to get better. That's for
how's
sure.
It going to get worse?
Well, then you'll have a terrible atmosphere to go along with your terrible performances on the field.
But our great atmosphere has not... There's no home field advantage to playing here. In fact, other teams look mighty comfortable here coming in, yakking balls out of Petco Park at will, almost. I mean, the Phillies have actually considered moving their entire franchise here to just play at Petco Park. They love it here. They're massively comfortable. Whatever the batter's eye is or whatever else... They're good. They would move their franchise here to hit in Petco Park. So, tough one last night, certainly. I don't know the answer. The answer is figure it out and play better and have a little bit of pride in your city and have a little bit of pride for your fans that show up not a couple times a week, every night. And you know how many people will be there today? A buttload. A buttload of people will be filling Petco Park tonight to watch this team try to salvage one and stop this skid. So it's a really, really tough one. You know, but I mentally, I feel great. Like, I feel better this year than I have any other year. Last year, these games were sending me into a tailspin. And I'm like, no, I get to come in and talk about this team, and they need to show us something. You know, they do. Not us, Ben and Woods. Us, San Diego. That's who they need to show. Because they are showing up for you, man. And I'm not hearing a lot of accountability either. I'm hearing a lot of, hey, ran into a buzzsaw. Hey, let's tip our cap again. I'm so tired of aren't they tired of tipping their caps as professional hitters? Will you tip your cap five nights in a row? Really? Every night you're like, didn't go our way. Tip a cap. I'm over it. They have to be as over it as we are. That's where it all falls.
How many times tip it, can Paulie? You tip it? It's falling off.
The damn bill fell off. I've been tipping this cap
so much. I have no more cap to tip.
There's no more cap to tip. So win a game tonight for the love of God. End this losing streak.
Let's see another team tip their cap to you for once.
For once?
How about that?
Hey, you Darvish just shoved on us now. We got to tip our cap.
David Bell, we got to tip our cap to you Darvish.
When's the last time anybody tipped their cap to us? It's been months. Months. So we'll get into way, way more. There's some of the uglier ABs I think I've ever seen in my life last night. Absolutely have no idea what I was watching. More mistakes, more bad pitches. My overarching thing today is this ain't Matt Waldron's fault, for the love of God. Matt Waldron gets a 100% pass from me and probably the rest of this show as well. Guy did his job last night. Would he have liked to give up fewer runs? Yeah, of course. But if you don't score any, what does it matter? You need your fifth starter to be perfect every time out? I don't think so. So let's talk about it. We're going to open up the phones today for sure. Want to hear from you guys.
Good idea. Let's do it early. 833-288-0973. You've heard Woods' thoughts. We will continue. Coming up next, Set the Menu and more. 833-288-0973. Ben and Woods. Kind of on a crummy Tuesday morning here on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I feel like I'm sometimes counted on to be San Diego's voice of optimism. Got to say, it's a tough role this morning.
Do you
don't really have a lot of optimism from last night's game. I can offer you just a little bit of perspective.
If you say it's early, I'm going to bloody
you. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say it's early. But I'm going to ask you a question.
Your lip's already bloody.
It is bloody.
You have chat. Your lips are so severe. You look like Bob Melvin. Mm. Remember Bob Melvin in his presser, and his lips would be white with the chapped and flaky. Did you bring some chapstick? I have some in my car. Do you want me to go get it for you?
Maybe.
Okay. Because his lips started bleeding.
Oh, wait. Here's some right here.
Oh, yes. Look at you. Whose is it?
Cordabomb. Got no idea. Dr. Dan's.
Well, whoever's that is, I mean, it's...
It's gone now.
I would assume it's Craig or...
Someone left it. Maybe for Chris. Maybe the gods just
literally, the gods just dropped you some chapstick.
Whoever's that is, that Ben's going to rub his bloody lips all over it.
Yeah.
So the only perspective I can offer is as... Doom and gloom as things feel right now for the Padres. Are they doing the same thing in Phoenix right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks? They are also four games under 500. They have only scored over three runs, I think, twice in the last 2 weeks. And if it weren't for three games in which they scored 16, 12, and 14, they would have one of the worst offenses in baseball. They're coming off a trip to the World Series. They have invested heavily in their team. They are playing awful. Are they pretty much going, this is a horrible, horrible baseball team? Or are they okay in saying, hey, it's early.
You know what they're
doing?
Things
are going to be okay. What are they saying in Arizona right now? Is it really early? Are we over panicking?
No, I'll tell you exactly what they're saying. Here's what they're saying in Arizona. I can't believe the Suns just got swept. I'm excited for the Cardinals draft. I can't believe the Coyotes just left. That's what they're saying. They don't give a rat's ass about the Diamondbacks. They really don't, and they haven't. Until last year. We are different here. We have one baby, really. You know what I mean? One major league out of the big four, whatever. Please don't roast me. I know MLS is coming. I know the wave. I know the SEALs. I work for the SEALs. I know what you're saying. But you guys know also what I'm saying. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about, can Kyler Murray figure it out? That's what they're talking about. They'll pick up interest in the Diamondbacks after the All-Star break. San Diego is different. We were left with just this team. Hence why there's never going to be 40,000 people against the Reds in Arizona ever.
Okay, that's fair from an emotional standpoint.
How's that emotional?
Well, I'm just saying, if I look at the Diamondbacks right now as myself, I go, yeah, they'll probably be okay. You know, they ended up just fine last year. They got some good young players, Corbin Carroll. They're probably still going to end up being a winning team and make a run to the playoffs. But we don't think that about the Padres right now, even though they're both in the exact same boat at the moment.
I picked the Diamondbacks to have a fall off this year.
I did too.
I picked them to have a little bit of a hangover. I thought the moves they made in the offseason were pretty savvy, getting Suarez and picking up some of the pitchers that they did. I really thought that they were going to take a step back, and they have. So I'm feeling pretty good about my prediction. Now, could they turn it on? Sure. Corbin Carroll has not been really the same player. He shoulder injury and is not playing up to his capabilities. You feel like if he gets going, yeah, you have a shot because he's a spark plug for that team.
The Padres have several players who haven't played up to their capabilities, yeah. And you just need one or two of them to start get going, and you know things could feel very different. But
Chris makes a good point, though, here in the chat, Benny. They showed you last year that they can do it. The Padres did not show you last year that they could do it. They did not. They're not showing this so far this year. The track record does speak. You know, I think Philly's a good example as well, too. They have been traditionally the last couple of years getting off to really slow starts. People in Philly are freaking out because they're off to a fast start this year. But they will believe in that team because they believe, oh, we've seen these guys turn it on. Have we seen, when's the last time we, the collective we here in San Diego, have seen the Padres, quote unquote, turn it on? When's the last time we turned it on? The playoffs in 22? For two series? Really? I mean, I'm not being a jerk. When is the last time the San Diego Padres turned it on? They put their foot on the gas and foot on the throats and just started bodying teams.
I assume September didn't count last year.
No.
I don't even think it happened in 2022.
2022 was a crap year, too, until we got to the playoffs. Honestly.
They had a decent end of the season run, but it wasn't like they were dominating. Went through a huge stretch of wins.
Yeah. 7 games in 22, Chris says. That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's why I think the faith is a little bit shaken, you know, because, again, until you prove that you can do it, I can tell you guys all day I can dunk a basketball. I can dunk one. I can dunk, man. I can jam. Well, show me. Ah, I know I've just missed 17 times in a row. Until I do it, you're not going to believe me. And I can't dunk a basketball, by the way. Not even close. 8-footer, I got you. Anything other than that, I'm out. But that's the tough part, is like you have to prove it. And you have to prove it to yourselves that you can do it. You know, you certainly haven't proved it to the fan base. And, you know, again, I don't expect people to not show up. I don't. With the financial straits that this team is in because of the TV lack of TV deal, yeah, I think we should support the team. I'm going to watch and support the team. I'm going to buy merch. I like the merch. I love the team. That's how I'm going to fan. But, I mean, these season tickets are sold out, so there's going to be people in the ballpark. Why? Because they want to love you. They want to so badly. They want you to be everything that you can be, and you're not. That's where I stand.
All right, if you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Our phone lines are open. Coming up on the program today, we'll get to our Padres wrap-up, go through. We've pretty much gone through yesterday's game, but a couple more thoughts, and then we'll get right out to your phone calls this morning here on Ben and Woods. At 835, Jesse Agler will be with us. He always does bring another measure of perspective.
Even Jesse this year is like, huh. I've noticed that. In his last appearance, I'm interested to see how today goes. I don't think it can be super positive, and I don't think it will be.
Forward to welcoming back AJ Cassavell to the program, back from his paternity leave covering
new
the
dad.
Padres for MLB.com. He and Manny both becoming new fathers in the recent weeks, and we'll catch up with AJ as he's returned to the beat covering the San Diego Padres. He's jumped right in a very tough spot, though, to cover this baseball team. So, those
are
the guests.
To see what his outside perspective looks like over the last few weeks, because you know he was still watching, paying attention, but he wasn't necessarily
in the
trenches.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the press conferences every night.
He was in the trenches. He was just in a different type of trench.
Very true.
It's a very different type of trench. Also very challenging.
Have our regular features as well, but I want to hear from you, Padres fans. You've got the forum here this morning with Ben and Woods. 833-288-0973. Talk to you next after our Padres wrap-up here on 97.3 The Fan. Calls early this morning on a Tuesday. That will be coming up. First, though, we're going to check traffic and then listen to our Padres wrap-up with Jesse Agler. And then we will take some phone calls in this segment, so don't go away. 833-288-0973. It's coming up next with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Well, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
The 0-2 to De La Cruz, sent in the air to deep center field as Zokar's back to watch. This one going to go into the second deck of the bullpen to the left of center field. Well, he's fast, but he can also do that. Eighth home run of the year for De La Cruz, the issue he had last year. And Profar hammers one to deep left field. Steer is back to look, going to go. Long home run to left for Profar, and a leadoff home run, 1-1 here in the first. Infield in, Espinal swings, sends it in the air, straightaway center field, plenty deep to get the run home. Zokar back onto the edge of the warning track, he makes the catch. Martini tags and advances, the throw goes to third base, but Candelario also advances. A sacrifice fly, and the Reds are back in front, it's 2-1. There's number 9 hitter, the catcher, Maley, and a balk has been called on Waldron, and that's going to score a run. Candelario comes in from third base. And now 3-1 Cincinnati. Hit knuckleball line fire over Machado and down the left field line into the corner. Benson will score easily. Steer is going to replace him at second base. It's an RBI double And now a 4-1 Reds lead in the third. Here's the 2-2. Kim swings and misses at the curveball, strike three, and the inning is over. Strikeout number 11 for Nick Lodolo, who has retired the last 16 Padres to come to bat. Pitch is lined into right field. Base hit. Fernando charges it. Martini's going to be waved. Here's the throw to the plate from Tatis. The tag not in time. RBI single for Espinal. The Reds add on for the first time in a long time. It's 5-1. Pitch to Machado. Swung on. Hit through the right side at a base hit. Cronenworth is rounding third. Benson's throw will be cut off. RBI single Manny Machado, and it's 5-2 here in the bottom of the ninth. Thinking about a game here in June of 2021, Ha-Sung Kim, a two-run home run in the eighth inning against the Reds. This time, though, he'll swing and miss strike three, and the ball game is over. Padres showed some fight in the bottom of the ninth inning, but too much quiet. Out of the bats here tonight against Lodolo and Cruz, and the Reds take game one of this series by a final of 5-2.
We didn't have any hits, so I'm not sure what you want me to say. I mean, clearly,
there's a lot of quick at bats.
Yeah, I get it. I understand the question. I get it completely. It's fair. A couple things in play. Guys are pretty good. Got to tip your hat. Also, you want to appreciate the fact that, you know, he's had two secondary pitches, you know, that were working, the slider, curveball, whatever he was calling in the heater. Whether we stuck with our approach consistently enough, that's something that we'll have to look at and explore.
I can speak freely when I say they did not stick to their approach, especially after Lodolo walked a couple of guys. I think it was Kim and Xander. The at-bats from Eggy Rosario and Sugar were two of the worst I think I'd seen. Higgy's wasn't great. I mean, he ended up striking out, but actually looked like a better at bat, fouled one off at least, like took a close one outside. Those two after the guy could not find the zone, that's a tough look.
Yeah, in the first six at bats of the game, the Padres had a home run, a 400-foot flyout by Manny Machado, and two walks.
Yeah.
So four of the first six batters looked like the Padres' offense was going to be cooking against Nick Lodolo.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Whether Lodolo figured something out after those two walks, or I would tend to think that maybe those bad at-bats by the bottom of the order gave Nick Lodolo kind of the confidence and stabilization he needed, and he did throw well. I mean, look, yeah, you know, he's burying that slider like Blake Snell would,
yep.
Back foot, and you know, you saw how many swings and misses Blake would get on that pitch. It looked very similar. The changeup was working, as Mike Schilt said, but the Padres also looked lost.
Expanded the zone a ton last night.
Except when the ball was right down the middle,
right.
When they didn't swing. It was, if they were guessing, they were guessing wrong all night long. There were bad at-bats, and even Mike Schilt acknowledged that question was a fair one. They were not good at-bats by the San Diego Padres all night long. They weren't ahead of the count. They were behind in the count constantly. And you do give some credit to Nick Lodolo for throwing strikes. You know, that's one thing the pitcher can control. Getting ahead in the count, throwing some strikes. And he was doing that. And then he was finishing off the Padres, who at that point were, when they made contact, it was, as you said, feeble contact. It was, you know, just see if he can hit a dribbler to second, because that avoided the strikeout. But most of the time, they didn't make contact at all. How many times did they strike out in the game last night? 14 times?
Yeah, 14 times total. Lodolo,
he had 11.
He struck out 11. Nine strikeouts over a 12-batter stretch. Those are the ones that you know, really just take you out of the game entirely.
Retired his last 18 batters he faced. Padres were retired for 23 straight batters after the two walks to start the second inning.
Yeah.
23 straight until the very late rally that didn't amount to anything in the ninth
inning.
Was
it Profar leading off the game? That was a knock.
That was a homer.
And then there was no other hit until Cronies hit in the ninth.
Correct.
That is quite the bookend. Quite the bookend.
And then Manny's hit, and then the error by De La Cruz on the ball that, as you
Xander
tweeted,
hit.
Was throwing 130 miles an hour, it seemed like, from shortstop.
Easily.
I don't think anyone's ever going to catch that, even if it was right at the first baseman.
I mean, it kind of was.
I'm diving out of the way if that ball is thrown so hard.
Why they have not converted him into a reliever / hitter / shortstop is beyond me. I don't know that I've seen a hose or an arm like his in a long, long time. That is now, he ramped up. He did not have to do that. He absolutely did not have to. Xander is hobbling down the line. He had him by 10 feet. He did not have to throw the ball that hard, but he did. And that's something that, you know, they were talking about his defense and how it's cleaned up a little bit. But that's one, if you're David Bell, you're like, hey, bro, that let them right back in the game, brings a tying run up. He won't do it again today. But, oh, my God, having that kind of cannon, playing short, making plays like he did, he's a really exciting player who I really enjoy watching. Didn't enjoy watching him last night take it to our Padres. But, man, what a really, 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 that's the roughest game of the year for me. And I know the 9-4 comeback was, that one sucked. Last night was actually worse for me. It was terrible.
The one quirk of the game was the third run for the Reds coming in on the balk by Matt Waldron on, and you feel like you watch enough baseball, and both of us have watched tons of baseball. When you encounter a rule you have never heard of in baseball coming into play in such a prominent way, I was surprised because I looked at Matt Waldron's windup and I go, I can't even see anything that's even like questionable on that pitch. Why would that be a balk? He was in his windup. He didn't stop and start. He did nothing weird. He didn't break his hands apart. I could not, for the life of me, figure out why a balk would be called. And credit to Tony Gwynn Jr., who was doing the television broadcast with Don Horsillo, who nailed it correctly. He said, I believe Matt Waldron must not have informed the umpire that he was going to switch from the stretch to the windup with never the runner on third base. And I had never heard that rule. I don't know if it's a new rule or something that had been changed in recent years, but Tony was aware and he said that's the only explanation that makes sense. And after the game, Mike Shildt did acknowledge it was the right call. You know, I don't know if Matt Waldron addressed it, whether that's something that he was unaware that he had to do. I wouldn't have been aware of it. If I had been a pitcher and there had been a runner at third and I decided to go out of the windup, I wouldn't have thought I had to tell anybody. Baseball's not usually a sport where you have to announce things in the middle of the game while you're out on the field. You just, you know, follow the rules and go. So I was surprised by that, but apparently it was a correct ruling of a balk on Matt Waldron, who went from the stretch and then switched to the windup after the sacrifice fly.
And then, you know, he's got to declare once the runner gets to third, from second, third, and of course he balked him in. Right call.
I'm going to start making them do that in adult league. He didn't declare balk, I score. Like,
I saw it in a Padres game, man.
I will say, I felt really dumb for not knowing that.
I didn't know it either.
And Bo asked me, Dad, what's a balk? I go, I have no idea. And I looked at the first, and he like flexed his knee weirdly. I'm like, yeah, but that's not going to deceive the runner at all. So I was trying to explain it to him from a right-hander's perspective, how you have to step off the rubber to throw to first, and you can't. And he just looked at me, eyes glazing over as he usually does. And I said, I don't know. This one in particular, I have no idea.
I do think now, though, if it ever happens again, you have to declare in Michael Scott voice.
Yeah, I do declare.
I will be going
from the windup. It was very, very odd last night. And, you know, it's been an odd season so far. More odd were some of the ABs put together.
Well, what is this contraption, I do declare?
That is
my BlackBerry, Michael. I'm trying to get updates on the company.
Who's Michael? I'm Caleb Crawdad, I do declare.
You don't have to keep saying I do declare anytime you say something.
Apparently
amazing.
You do have to
that
say I
do
declare.
That is the way people talk. And what designing woman are you basing that on?
Delta Burke, I do declare.
Yeah, fantastic.
I do declare I'm pitching out of the windup with the runner at third base going forward. All right, let's go out to the phone calls. 833-288-0973. My board's not working. I believe we have Ron on the line. Ron. Huh? Ron, yes. Ron, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll tell you what, I'm with you, Woods. I've figured out this year how to handle these losses a little bit better. I just turn the TV off and go to bed right around the fourth inning. I mean, you can tell right off the bat, you guys, going to go. You can kind of tell in the first couple of innings how the game is going to go. I'm extremely worried about. I think his struggles will continue throughout the year.
I lost you there.
I don't know what happened.
You're worried about who? You're worried about who?
I'm worried.
He's
you guys
out.
Got me?
No, it's cutting out a little bit.
You guys got me now?
Now we got you.
Who are you worried about, Ron?
Yeah. I'm worried about Bogaerts. I think his struggles will continue throughout the year. I don't know what happened when he came here, but it's just not, just doesn't seem to be working out. And to Wood's point, last night when we get two guys walked and then the next three guys strike out, I don't know. I mean, before the season started, you guys, the odds makers had the Padres in fourth place at best. And I think we're a top-heavy lineup. And if those guys aren't going, then none of it's going.
Yeah, and, you know, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. The Xander stuff, we talked about it this morning. I have a point. It's in my head. I don't know how to articulate it the very best way. And I know that that's my job. And there's all this pressure to play in Boston, right? All this pressure, allegedly, to play in these other cities. And it brings out, I guess, the best in guys like Xander Bogaerts. And apparently there's no pressure here to win because we're soft and the fans are soft and they don't boo him and threaten his life, as Cameron Maben has told us. I don't know. Like, if the pressure's off, shouldn't you be able to just relax and do what you do? And that's hit a baseball hard, not roll one over. And again, he's not the only problem. Manny's having a rough start. Fernando Tatis is hitting some barrels, but they're not falling right now. Expanded the zone a little bit last night. Didn't have the best ABs for him either. And then, you know, we get into a point where we're blaming Eggy Rosario and Sugar and Kyle Higashioka when what's happened, and it's, I'm going to beat it like a dead horse. I don't think it's the pressure or the lack of pressure. I don't think it's the money. I don't know exactly what it is, but
I don't think that. I know there's some fans who feel like he got his money and now he's not. He doesn't care. He doesn't work hard. From what I've seen, you know, Xander Bogaerts is one of the harder workers on the team.
And again, like, he's not a guy that. Have there been guys that got a huge bag and completely mailed it in? Yeah, I'm sure there have been. We've seen a few of them here. But I don't get that sense with him. I don't get that sense with him at all. I see a guy that really wants to win and really is trying to win, but he's lost. I mean, he was toe-tapping last week. He's leg-kicking again. He's lost. He's scuffling right now. And I don't know where you put him, but it's funny. I mean, and Schilt made this point yesterday. Yeah, nobody wanted Xander leadoff, and he's ended up leading off a bunch of innings now. And that's exactly what happens. And so
I don't have a problem with Xander leading off innings. The reason why I didn't want him playing leadoff,
because to get more ABs,
was because he shouldn't get as many at bats. Yeah. So I'm fine with him coming up. He has experience doing it. I'm actually glad when he comes up to leadoff inning. He's not hitting for any extra base power. At least there's a chance he could get a single and get on base. It's not that he shouldn't be leading off innings. It's that he shouldn't be getting more at-bats than anybody else on the team. Right now, the guy who should get more at-bats than anyone on the team is Jurickson Profar.
Yep.
Leading the team in on-base percentage. He's leading the team in average. And he's got four home runs, including one last night. So I'm more than fine with Jurickson continuing to hit leadoff. And Xander hitting fifth or sixth or seventh or whatever until he figures it out. I certainly hope that he does figure it out at some point. But you're right. It's lost. It's, as a golfer, it's like when you get the shanks and you don't know why. You're a decent golfer and all of a sudden the ball is just not coming off the club the way it used to. And you don't know why. Yep. And then eventually it kind of, you figure it out. You don't even sometimes know how you figure it out. And hopefully that comes for Xander. But he's not the player that he's been before right now. He is in a torture chamber and he looks lost at the plate.
Yeah, there's not a lot of confidence from really any of the guys right now. And listen, five games in a row losing will do that to you. And Schilt addressed that last night in his postgame too, saying, you know, we can't get down, woe is me. And, you know, we can. That's kind of our job, and fans can.
We're going to get out some phone calls early this morning on a Tuesday. That will be coming up. First, though, we're going to check traffic and then listen to our Padres wrap-up with Jesse Agler. And then we will take some phone calls in this segment, so don't go away. 833-288-0973. It's coming up next with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
The 0-2 to De La Cruz, sent in the air to deep center field as Zocar's back to watch. This one gonna go into the second deck of the bullpen to the left of center field. Well, he's fast, but he can also do that. Eighth home run of the year for De La Cruz, issue he had last year. And Profar hammers one to deep left field. Steer is back to look. Going to go. Long home run to left for Profar. And a leadoff home run. 1-1 here in the first. Infield in. Espinal swings. Sends it in the air. Straightaway center field. Plenty deep to get the run home. Zocar back onto the edge of the warning track. He makes the catch. Martini tags and advances. The throw goes to third base, but Candelario also advances. A sacrifice fly, and the Reds are back in front. It's 2-1. There's number 9 hitter, the catcher, Maley, and a balk has been called on Waldron, and that's going to score a run. Candelario comes in from third base, and now 3-1 Cincinnati. Hit knuckleball line fair over Machado and down the left field line into the corner. Benson will score easily. Steer is going to replace him at second base. It's an RBI double. And now a 4-1 Reds lead in the third. Here's the 2-2. Kim swings and misses at the curveball. Strike 3. And the inning is over. Strikeout number 11 for Nick Lodolo, who has retired the last 16 Padres to come to bat. Pitch is lined into right field. Base hit. Fernando charges it. Martini's going to be waved. Here's the throw to the plate from Tatis. The tag not in time. RBI single for Espinal. The Reds add on for the first time in a long time. It's 5-1. Pitch to Machado. Swung on. Hit through the right side at a base hit. Cronenworth is rounding third. Benson's throw will be cut off. RBI single Manny Machado, and it's 5-2 here in the bottom of the ninth. Thinking about a game here in June of 2021, Ha-Seong Kim, a two-run home run in the eighth inning against the Reds. This time, though, he'll swing and miss strike 3, and the ball game is over. Padres showed some fight in the bottom of the ninth inning, but too much quiet. Out of the bats here tonight against Lodolo and Cruz, and the Reds take game one of this series by a final of 5-2.
We didn't have any hits, so I'm not sure what you want me to say. I mean, clearly,
there's a lot of quick at-bats.
Yeah, I get it. I understand the question. I get it completely. It's fair. A couple things in play. Guys are pretty good. Got to tip your hat. Also, you want to appreciate the fact that, you know, he's had two secondary pitches, you know, that were working, the slider, curveball, whatever he was calling in the heater. Whether we stuck with our approach consistently enough, that's something that we'll have to look at and explore.
I can speak freely when I say they did not stick to their approach, especially after Lodolo walked a couple of guys. I think it was Kim and Xander. The at-bats from Eggy Rosario and Sugar were two of the worst I think I'd seen. Higgy's wasn't great. I mean, he ended up striking out, but actually looked like a better at bat, fouled one off at least, like took a close one outside. Those two after the guy could not find the zone, that's a tough look.
Yeah, in the first six at bats of the game, the Padres had a home run, a 400-foot flyout by Manny Machado, and two walks.
Yeah.
So four of the first six batters looked like the Padres' offense was going to be cooking against Nick Lodolo.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Whether Lodolo figured something out after those two walks, or I would tend to think that maybe those bad at-bats by the bottom of the order gave Nick Lodolo kind of the confidence and stabilization he needed, and he did throw well. I mean, look, you know, he was burying that slider like Blake Snell would,
yeah.
Back foot, and you know, you saw how many swings and misses Blake would get on that pitch. It looked very similar. The changeup was working, as Mike Shildt said, but the Padres also looked lost.
Expanded the zone a ton last night.
Except when the ball was right down the middle,
right.
When they didn't swing. It was, if they were guessing, they were guessing wrong all night long. There were bad at-bats, and even Mike Shildt acknowledged that question was a fair one. They were not good at-bats by the San Diego Padres all night long. They weren't ahead of the count. They were behind in the count constantly. And you do give some credit to Nick Lodolo for throwing strikes. You know, that's one thing the pitcher can control. Getting ahead in the count, throwing some strikes. And he was doing that. And then he was finishing off the Padres, who at that point were, when they made contact, it was, as you said, feeble contact. It was, you know, just see if he can hit a dribbler to second, because that avoided the strikeout. But most of the time, they didn't make contact at all. How many times did they strike out in the game last night? 14 times?
Yeah, 14 times total. Lodolo, he struck out 11. Nine strikeouts over a 12-batter stretch. Those are the ones that you know, really just take you out of the game entirely.
And, his last 18 batters he faced. Padres were retired for 23 straight batters after the two walks to start the second inning.
Yeah.
23 straight until the very late rally that didn't amount to anything in the ninth.
Was it Profar leading off the game? That was a knock.
That was a homer.
And then there was no other hit until Cronies hit in the ninth?
Correct.
That is quite the bookend. Quite the bookend.
And then Manny's hit, and then the error by De La Cruz on the ball that, as you tweeted, was thrown 130 miles an hour, it seemed like, from shortstop.
Easily.
I don't think anyone's ever going to catch that. Even if it was right at the first baseman.
I mean, it kind of was.
I'm diving out of the way of that ball that is thrown so hard.
Why they have not converted him into a reliever / hitter / shortstop is beyond me. I don't know that I've seen a hose or an arm like his in a long, long time. That is now, he ramped up. He did not have to do that. He absolutely did not have to. Xander is hobbling down the line. He had him by 10 feet. He did not have to throw the ball that hard, but he did. And that's something that, you know, they were talking about his defense and how it's cleaned up a little bit. But that's one, if you're David Bell, you're like, hey, bro, that let them right back in the game, brings a tying run up. He won't do it again today. But, oh, my God, having that kind of cannon, playing short, making plays like he did. He's a really exciting player who I really enjoy watching. Didn't enjoy watching him last night take it to our Padres. But, man, what a really, really, really – that's the roughest game of the year for me. And I know the 9-4 comeback was – that one sucked. Last night was actually worse for me. It was terrible.
The one quirk of the game was the third run for the Reds coming in on the balk by Matt Waldron on – and you feel like you watch enough baseball, and both of us have watched tons of baseball. When you encounter a rule you have never heard of in baseball coming into play in such a prominent way – I was surprised because I looked at Matt Waldron's windup and I go, I can't even see anything that's even like questionable on that pitch. Why would that be a balk? He was in his windup. He didn't stop and start. He did nothing weird. He didn't break his hands apart. I could not, for the life of me, figure out why a balk would be called. And credit to Tony Gwynn Jr., who was doing the television broadcast with Don Horsillo, who nailed it correctly. He said, I believe Matt Waldron must not have informed the umpire that he was going to switch from the stretch to the windup with the runner on third base. And I had never heard that rule. I don't know if it's a new rule or something that had been changed in recent years, but Tony was aware and he said that's the only explanation that makes sense. And after the game, Mike Shildt did acknowledge it was the right call. You know, I don't know if Matt Waldron addressed it, whether that's something that he was unaware that he had to do. I wouldn't have been aware of it. If I had been a pitcher and there had been a runner at third and I decided to go out of the windup, I wouldn't have thought I had to tell anybody. Baseball's not usually a sport where you have to announce things in the middle of the game while you're out on the field. You just, you know, follow the rules and go. So I was surprised by that, but apparently it was a correct ruling of a balk on Matt Waldron, who went from the stretch and then switched to the windup after the sacrifice fly.
And then, you know, he's got to declare once the runner gets to third, from second, third, and of course he balked him in. Right call.
I'm going to start making them do that in adult league. He didn't declare, balk, I score. Like,
I saw it in a Padres game, yeah, man.
I will say, I felt really dumb for not knowing that.
I didn't know it either.
And Bo asked me, Dad, what's a balk? I go, I have no idea. And I looked at the first, and he like flexed his knee weirdly. I'm like, yeah, but that's not going to deceive the runner at all. So I was trying to explain it to him from a right-hander's perspective, how you have to step off the rubber to throw to first, and you can't. And he just looked at me, eyes glazing over, as he usually does. And I said, I don't know. This one in particular, I have no idea.
I do think now, though, if it ever happens again, you have to declare in Michael Scott voice.
Yeah, I do declare.
I do declare. I will be going from the windup.
It was very, very odd last night. And, you know, it's been an odd season so far. more odd were some of the AVs
well,
put together.
Well, what is this contraption I do declare?
That is
my BlackBerry, Michael. I'm trying to get updates on the company.
Who's Michael? I'm Caleb Crawdad, I do declare.
You don't have to keep saying I do declare anytime you say something.
Apparently you do have to
that
say I do
declare.
That
is the way Southern people talk. Man, what designing woman are you basing that on?
Delta Burke, I do declare.
Yeah, fantastic.
I do declare I'm pitching out of the windup with the runner at third base going forward. All right, let's go. Let's go out to the phone calls. 833-288-0973. My board's not working. I believe we have Ron on the line. Ron, yes. Ron, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll tell you what, I'm with you, Woods. I've figured out this year how to handle these losses a little bit better. I just turn the TV off and go to bed right around the fourth inning. I mean, you can tell right off the bat, you guys, gonna go. You can kind of tell in the first couple of innings how the game is gonna go. I'm extremely worried about. I think his struggles will continue throughout the year.
I lost you there.
I don't know what happened.
You cut out. You're worried about who?
I'm worried.
You guys got me? No, it's
cutting
out a little bit.
You guys got me now?
Now we got you.
Who are you worried about, Ron?
Yeah. I'm worried about Bogarts. I think his struggles will continue throughout the year. I don't know what happened when he came here, but it's just not, just doesn't seem to be working out. And to Wood's point, last night when we get two guys walked and then the next three guys strike out, I don't know. I mean, before the season started, you guys, the odds makers had the Padres in fourth place at best. And I think we're a top-heavy lineup. And if those guys aren't going, then none of it's going.
Yeah, and, you know, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. The Xander stuff, we talked about it this morning. I have a point. It's in my head. I don't know how to articulate it the very best way. And I know that that's my job. And there's all this pressure to play in Boston, right? All this pressure, allegedly, to play in these other cities. And it brings out, I guess, the best in guys like Xander Bogaerts. And apparently there's no pressure here to win because we're soft and the fans are soft and they don't boo him and threaten his life, as Cameron Maben has told us. I don't know. Like, if the pressure's off, shouldn't you be able to just relax and do what you do? And that's hit a baseball hard, not roll one over. And again, he's not the only problem. Manny's having a rough start. Fernando Tatis is hitting some barrels, but they're not falling right now. Expanded the zone a little bit last night. Didn't have the best ABs for him either. And then, you know, we get into a point where we're blaming Eggy Rosario and Sugar and Kyle Higashioka when what's happened, and it's, I'm going to beat it like a dead horse. I don't think it's the pressure or the lack of pressure. I don't think it's the money. I don't know exactly what it is, but
I don't think that. I know there's some fans who feel like he got his money and now he's not. He doesn't care. He doesn't work hard. From what I've seen, you know, Xander Bogaerts is one of the harder workers on the team.
And again, like, he's not a guy that. Have there been guys that got a huge bag and completely mailed it in? Yeah, I'm sure there have been. We've seen a few of them here. But I don't get that sense with him. I don't get that sense with him at all. I see a guy that really wants to win and really is trying to win, but he's lost. I mean, he was toe-tapping last week. He's leg-kicking again. He's lost. He's scuffling right now. And I don't know where you put him, but it's funny. I mean, and Schilt made this point yesterday. Yeah, nobody wanted Xander leadoff, and he's ended up leading off a bunch of innings now. And that's exactly what happens. And so
I don't have a problem with Xander leading off innings. The reason why I didn't want him playing leadoff,
because to get more ABs,
was because he shouldn't get as many at-bats. Yeah. So I'm fine with him coming up. He has experience doing it. I'm actually glad when he comes up to lead off inning. He's not hitting for any extra base power. At least there's a chance he could get a single and get on base. It's not that he shouldn't be leading off innings. It's that he shouldn't be getting more at-bats than anybody else on the team. Right now, the guy who should get more at-bats than anyone on the team is Jurickson Profar.
Yep.
Leading the team in on-base percentage. He's leading the team in average. And he's got four home runs, including one last night. So I'm more than fine with Jurickson continuing to hit leadoff. And Xander hitting fifth or sixth or seventh or whatever until he figures it out. I certainly hope that he does figure it out at some point. But you're right. It's lost. It's as a golfer, it's like when you get the shanks. And you don't know why. You're a decent golfer, and all of a sudden, the ball is just not coming off the club the way it used to. And you don't know why. Yep. And then eventually, it kind of you figure it out. You don't even sometimes know how you figure it out. And hopefully, that comes for Xander. But he's not the player that he's been before right now. He is in a torture chamber, and he looks lost at the plate.
Yeah, there's not a lot of confidence from really any of the guys right now. And listen, five games in a row losing will do that to you. And Shilt addressed that last night in his postgame, too, saying, you know, we can't get down, woe is me. And, you know, we can. That's kind of our job, and fans can, absolutely. But they're going to have to fight their way out of it. They're going to have to do it today against Nick Martinez, a guy they know and they've seen. You know, they know what he's capable of. He's going to be probably more frustrating ABs today, I would imagine. Fastball changeup is not the ideal recipe for the San Diego Padres.
Not when you're squeezing sawdust out of the bat already. You know, Nick will probably use that against his old teammates.
I tweeted it last night. If I'm Nick Martinez, I'm watching these at-bats, and I'm salivating. I cannot wait to get on the mound today because you got nine guys up and down the order, other than Profar, maybe, that look completely lost right now. So, yeah, it's again, it's just going to be tall order after tall order after tall order. That's playing in the big leagues. That's just what it is. And if Nick Lodolo rams it down your throat like that, Nick Martinez on the bump tonight, I don't want to be the team that has to scratch and salvage the last game of every three-game stand, and especially at home. I think that's what chaps me the most, is the home cooking for the Padres is basically S on a shingle. You know, it's nothing good. Nothing good at all.
Now, Mike Shildt did announce that Yu Darvish will return from the injured list and make the start tonight.
Need him.
You know, I don't know if he's going to be sharp or fresh after 2 weeks off, but they need him to be. They need someone else tipping their cap to the San Diego Padres pitcher for a great performance. Darvish, Musgrove, Cease. The next 3 days, these are the guys that you're paying the most money to anchor your starting rotation. They need someone to step up. And if it's not them, then they need Tatis and Machado and some of the offense to step up. Someone, there's a lot of high-paid players on the team. Someone has to step up and help them deliver a win. Darvish gets the chance tonight. All right, we'll continue with your phone calls. If you're online, stay there. 833-288-0973. Play a little take on Woods as well. When we come back, Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan on a Tuesday morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.